Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. Okay, so I'm learning a ton of things about the cosplay community and all these subsections of conventions and cons, anime cons, gaming cons. There's a whole conversation around online chat groups and things where there's harassment and things going on there. So I'm talking with a group of people at OhioCon, and I just started recording because we're having such an interesting conversation around consent and cosplay and things that cons are doing or not doing to protect their attendees from harassment and different things like that. So Trixie is here. Trixie, what's the name of your website?
It's the Cosplayer Survivor Support Network. It's cosplayer ssn.org if you're interested in looking.
And so Trixie
and Allie
have basically on this site, they have a rating system for different cons based on
different qualifications of how well their harassment policy works and if it exists at all.
That's awesome, because I mean, honestly, again, I'm new to this world, even though I attended SDCC in San Diego, you know, a few times, but I don't know a ton about the culture, to be honest. This is a new experience for me, so I'm so excited to hear, like, from an insider's point of view, like, all the things. This is so great. So we were talking a little bit before, we talked about so many amazing things, but is there anything in particular that you'd like to share in terms of your experience, like, as a cosplayer going to events, attending events, I should ask it this way. What are things that people could do better if they're in the organization part of a con?
Yeah.
Or staff of a con, like, what are things that could be done better in terms of cosplay and just safety?
Yeah. Number one, cosplay is not consent is not enough. Absolutely not enough for your con. If all you have is signs that say cosplay is not consent, I don't believe that you actually care about what happens to me when people are approaching me in the hallway, or what happens to me after that when I'm not being photographed, or if I'm not in cosplay and I get harassed, which has happened actually at this convention previously. So things that you can do to help out. First of all, listen to us when we tell you in feedback. Listen to what we actually need you to do. Because if we tell you, you know, hey, I would like to see some signage up with a number that we can call if we don't feel comfortable approaching security, and all you do is say, okay, well, we have more security people now, then that doesn't help me.
Yeah. So, no, absolutely. Well, and I was actually brainstorming with a few people. At this con, there was a room. It was like Room of Silence or Tranquility or something. And I don't know if I mentioned this before in another session, but I was like, I wonder if it would be interesting. Maybe I did bring this up to have like someone, like a consent person or someone in a room like that, where
there is at MedSuriCon. I was actually one of those people. Mm-hmm. They actually do have a person in the room that is designated for people just to say, you know, I don't feel comfortable talking to con ops. I don't feel comfortable talking to security. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have the person in front of me, but I want to address this issue that happened to me.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I feel like that would be a great, even just effort put forth by the con, showing that there's some level of concern, or, you know, they want to make sure everyone feels comfortable, right?
Yeah, so. And I want to quickly interject that I had no idea that that was part of their policy or how it worked. And if I had, that would have made me feel a lot more comfortable. So something that we want to see is online, say what resources are available.
Absolutely.
I don't want to find out when it happens to me.
Right.
I want to know beforehand, just because I'm aware that, you know, these things happen. Other people won't necessarily be aware, but it's great that they're there. And I would love to be able to tell people, hey, you know, this is available for you. Or, you know, also, aside from just having a person in person, it would be great to have somebody on text or whatever, because some people are just not comfortable sharing that information.
So, like, maybe a phone number or something you could email, or maybe even, I don't know how complicated this would be, but, like, text blah, 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 55599 if you, like, want to talk to someone or have a concern or something.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there are always support networks that are available for certain things, like RAIN is great.
Yeah.
There's also, I think, a trans lifeline that was just created. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've gotten more up to date with what people actually want to do, which is text instead of call and say, hey, I'm feeling really crappy.
Right, but separate, those are, you know,
right,
in general, mm-hmm. not specifically
so
to an event.
That. Right, you can always do that at any time. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of cons say, oh, well, if you really need help, do that instead of, you know, us helping you and saying that we
have you
care.
Been to some that say that?
I have just known that cons don't have a lot of that sort of support
at
their on site or even online afterward, because, you know, there's only so much you can do. The con is only so long.
Right.
And we recognize that, you know, if something happens at the con and you choose to not report it for any reason, whether mm-hmm. or not, you know, if you were comfortable or if, you know, if you felt like you couldn't at the time, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But they can't help you. That's just the nature of the con, is that they cannot help you.
Right.
If you do it afterward.
Right.
So, you know, they do have support available, but not continuously, not something that can be always anonymous.
And some don't at all.
Yeah,
well, and
some don't at all.
And that's, yeah, the whole anonymity part of it is really important. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it just goes back to, you know, if you're in a position, which I think we all, because again, we're all in this room learning and chatting, so we get it, right? But if somebody already has been victimized or something has happened, I mean, it's just like a double whammy of
right.
Now you got to tell someone who's gonna not believe you, first of all, or might have doubts about your story, or what did you, again, back to what we were saying earlier, like, what did you do, like, did you do something, like, what are you wearing, like, all that nonsense,
like cons that just say, oh, well, go to security or call the police,
right?
You know, we need to understand, it might be real easy for us as white people to call the police, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people of color.
Real
I'm
talk.
Not worried. I'm not calling them.
Absolutely.
Right.
If you go to
right.
the cop, if you call the cops and say, hey, this person was harassing me, and the cops show up and it's a white person, and they say, no, that
what
black person was bothering me.
Right.
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 You know,
right.
What do you think's going to happen? And then
or
also,
if
like,
LGBT.
Right. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's going to be a waste of their time.
Right.
They are not going to take you seriously. Actually, this is a good time to bring up, there was a convention where a friend of mine was, and they noticed that somebody was stalking them, and they went to police security because that's what they had as security.
Right.
It was just police.
Mm-hmm.
So they went up to the police and said, hey, I think this person's stalking me. And they're like, well, how do we know they're not just a jealous ex?
Well, either way.
Why does that matter? We have to take it seriously.
I know.
What it is.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that especially like in, like, say, let's, in the context of the cons mm-hmm. and things, and I think we mentioned this yesterday, because it's like kind of a fantasy environment,
mm-hmm.
you know, with costumes and fun times, and it's like fantasy and all these things. I think there's this idea by whether it be police, whether it be con organizers, that it's just fun, and certain things aren't taken as seriously because it's not a quote unquote serious environment. But it's like, but it's still people, and if anything, it's like there needs to be even more. More effort taken, or just a more awareness given for the fact that, oh, well, it is fantasy, so there might be an alternate reality, or like people are experiencing things, and there might be, not, I don't want to say the word supervision, but there needs to be more just resources, you know, and protections put in place.
And that's part of why it's so important on your harassment policy to like define harassment, because a lot of times, especially like if you see someone who's in the same, you know, video game series as you, you feel an instant connection.
Of course.
You feel more intimate with them than necessarily.
Right, right.
And you might feel, oh, yeah, it's perfectly okay to go up and grab this person and give them a hug.
Completely.
Or, hey, my character, you know, strangles them, so I'll
just
go up and do this.
I'll just go up and strangle you, for example. I'm a human being, and this happens to me, too, so I'm trying to figure out how to say it in a teachable way, so
right.
where I'm not... Yeah. You know, because I don't want to, again, people tune out when it gets aggressive or if it gets shamey. So I don't want that to be the case. So, again, that was a really, when things like that happen to me, it's a really good lesson for me as well. I'm learning in that moment, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have, what did, tell me everything.
Oh,
you have
yes.
more thoughts.
Well, actually,
because what time is it? I think we're running out of time.
No.
Let me see. It's definitely Oh, okay, we have 10 minutes, yeah. So perfect.
Really quickly, okay, something that I thought of while you were saying, you know, like some people might assume it's okay to do this or that, and some people actually might expect you to do it if it's in, you know, if you're in the same series. Oh,
right.
Sure, does that. So there's a lot of pressure. But mm-hmm. in this community, there's also a lot of the law of the excluded middle. So a lot of people say, oh, well, consent is so big these days, and it's what do I have to ask somebody every time I do anything, even my wife? Like, you know.
Yeah,
And then that just throws the conversation out of the window because they assume that it's, you know, ridiculous to think of it that way.
Or they're trying to present it in a way that it's, oh, you never ask for consent.
Or that's you're ridiculous. Too sensitive
to.
About,
yes, yeah,
right, yeah.
So, you know,
oh, trust me, I've had so many of those conversations,
yeah.
Especially in the dating world.
I would imagine so, yeah. And I think our community needs it a lot more than some other communities might,
mm-hmm.
because we do have a lot of people who could consider themselves socially awkward
mm-hmm.
or neurodivergent, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
They might not know how to approach people or how to, you know, flirt with people in a way that makes them not feel uncomfortable.
I'm so glad you brought that up again. We had mentioned that before when we weren't recording this conversation. And yeah, I think, you know, I actually thought about proposing something that was in the realm of getting to know each other, not specifically dating, because I feel like that word is very loaded and heavy. And it's so funny because, again, I'm 39, and so it's interesting because when I was growing up, dating was a word you just used. And now it's like, especially when I'm in like a college environment or younger environment, they're like, dating, ew. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. That's not a word you want to be associated with, even if you're single and want to find someone that you want to date. You don't use those words. I get it. But so I do think in this environment, I see and experience some of a social awkwardness. At these cons and in certain events like this, and I think it would be really effective to have something where it's like almost just like interpersonal skills, but in a fun way, where you could also meet other people who are enjoying these things. And this is actually a really great environment for that because you're already with a lot of people who are into the same things you're into. But like, I don't feel like it would be weird to run a dating event here again because that's so loaded and heavy.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
I was gonna say that in the past we've had dating events here.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah. I'm actually friends with the guy that runs it, sci-fi speed dating.
Yeah.
Sci-fi speed dating.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
interesting.
I mean, they do have events for like specifically, you know, things at the con, but sometimes I do worry though because the process for selecting panels is not real. You know,
robust at all.
It's not robust. It's not consistent across the board. So
no.
If somebody says like, oh, you know, I'm going to run a dating panel. This actually happened the other day. Somebody said that they were going to do that at a convention that I attend.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped on there and I said, so in this panel, are you going to cover consent in any capacity or do you know how to do that at all? And I don't think that if I hadn't said something, I don't think anybody would have double checked to make sure that it was okay
totally.
The way that they were presenting it.
Mm-hmm.
This happens for a lot of, you know, conventions. A lot of panels are kind of iffy. There was one panel in Florida where somebody got the panel and it was basically like, you know, how to talk to girls or something. And the panel ended up being the panelist
basically hitting on girls in the audience.
Oh, no.
That was the content of the panel. And it was so uncomfortable. It should never have been selected.
Like, I'm going to show you right now on you how to do this.
Yeah,
okay.
or like, tell me how to talk to women. You know, basically.
See, now, I've done that panel, but I also say, if you are not comfortable with me coming up to you because I am very loud and I am a confident person, I'm going to get in your face. If you do not like that, please say so.
Yeah, you're qualified to do something like that.
And there's also, it is just, whether this is, you know, like, appropriate or not, like, or, what's the word? I can't think of the word. You're a female, a femme-presenting person, so it's a little different if it was a dude saying, and whether that's okay to say or not, it's just the truth.
Yeah.
It is a little different. It's received differently if it's a guy saying, here's how to pick up girls, than if it was a female presenting person saying, here are some tips for, you know, dating or approaching people or something. It's different. It is different, you know?
Yeah, and it's so hard to, like, you know, sometimes I think to myself, should I retitle my panel to, like, trick people into coming so that I can actually tell them what we want them to do?
Marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's just smart marketing.
Yeah. But, like, you know, I always feel a little guilty doing that. But, you know, there are different qualification levels that people have to speak about these things, and I feel like that's also something that cons need to work on. There was also a thread on the Facebook group about having an LGBT mixer. And
absolutely.
A couple people were like, great, awesome, you know, we should do that. And then one person was like, well, this event is basically LGBT anyway, so why do we need to have that? Okay.
Well, clearly that person's...
In a space like this, LGBT people do not always feel 100% comfortable.
Absolutely.
You know, again, dating. Like, is somebody who is specifically looking to meet people for that reason. Whereas I'm here, I'm bi, I don't need to meet anybody because I have my significant other. Like, there are reasons why people wouldn't want to treat it like an LGBT mixer. Many reasons, including that person.
But, but no, but that, it just goes back to, like, the whole thing, though. If you're running an event that has thousands of people, even hundreds or whatever, 20 people. Mm-hmm. It's like, why wouldn't you do something to make sure that everyone feels safe and supported, and just there's a place for everybody. If you know there's all different kinds of people under the rainbow and groups in your place, again, this is just me thinking logically. Again, in this room, we all get it, right?
Yeah.
But it just seems like you would want to do everything you can to just have a say. Just like there's different talks you can go to. I did write your first book. Like, not everyone's going to come to that, but there's an option for people who want to do a book thing. So if there's, you know, a place for LGBT people or a mixer or something, or then, you know, a thing for, I love that there was a diversity panel here. Mm-hmm. And that's great. Because again, the fact that there were, I was actually shocked at the levels of diversity here. I grew up in Ohio. I was not expecting,
exactly.
Right? I had really low expectations. And again, I mean, my first Comic-Con in San Diego I went to, it was like maybe 2006. And there, it wasn't super diverse even then in 2006. And so I was like, okay, that was San Diego, okay? Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people from LA, so it's more diverse than most probably. Mm-hmm. So I came here thinking, oh boy, I might be one of the only Black people there. And I'd be like, oh my God. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And also the representation of the LGBT community here. Mm-hmm. But Q is very important. LGBTQ community here. It's been really amazing. Mm-hmm. And that was really amazing to me. And it just, what you were talking about yesterday about just, you know, having come to the cons for 20 years or something,
right,
and seen the evolution of it all, I'm really impressed. And it shows that there's so many people who, it's not just a certain type of person that maybe is a stereotype of who would come to these cons.
Correct.
It's so many different kinds of people. And because of that, I kindly invite organizers of these events to really look at the attendees and adjust accordingly. Maybe it's different from how it started way back, but just, you know, maybe things need to be, there needs to be more inclusion. Maybe there needs to be more consent. Maybe there needs to be more safety things put in place. And if that wasn't what you did before, maybe that's just what needs to happen now.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like a lot of conventions grew out of spaces where people weren't really thinking about that because maybe it didn't apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of the time people feel like it doesn't apply,
right,
so it doesn't exist. Which
mm-hmm.
is not true. But
right.
Now that, I mean, I really have to thank the Me Too movement for, you know, helping us come together and speak up about it, because it's, you know, every convention is somebody's Me Too. I say this always.
Yeah.
So you really have to have the resources in place to handle that.
Yeah. Well, and also back to empathy, and just back to, are you paying attention to the people who are paying for your successful event? I mean, if it wasn't for the people, the event wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just so important.
You would think.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Hey, Trixie, will you tell people where they can find your website again?
Yeah, absolutely.
And or social media.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Buckle up, because it's a couple. So it's the Cosplayer Survivor Support Network, CSSN. The website is cosplayer-ssn.org. We are also at cosplayer_ssn on Twitter. You can message us on Facebook. Same thing. Just if you type it into Google, you're going to find us, basically. I also have a personal website where I talk about my own experiences being harassed, etc. It's just trixie.com, and I spell it T-R-I-C-K-S-S-I. And that's across all social media, Trixie.
That's awesome. Does
yeah.
anyone want to share any final thoughts about consent, specifically in regards to cons? Any thoughts, suggestions, overall feelings about it before we wrap up?
I have a rhetorical question, I suppose, that since this, the Me Too movement has made things like this more like open to discussion, why aren't cons taking the steps necessary to do this because it's going to get out, people will know, and that will affect your attendance. If, like, if you want to have a successful con, why aren't you taking more steps to take care of this, because it's going to get out?
That would probably even draw more people to your con, because, like, you can say, you know, we're taking these steps, we're being respectful.
Yeah,
here's
our,
like, people's attention. Yeah.
Extensive list of policies and all these actions you can take to, like, ensure that you have a safe and successful con experience. Like, wow, this is going to be great. I don't have to worry as much about all these things that have happened in the past.
And if something happens, I know exactly where to go and what to do.
And I think the reason, I know you said it was rhetorical, but I think the reason why a lot of cons aren't doing it is, first of all, they aren't aware of how bad it is. If you go to our report card site, part of the site, you will see just how many conventions either don't have a policy at all or really don't have anything to protect you if you really need those resources. So I think they also think that Me Too is taking care of it all.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we had our moment, and now it's done. Everything is solved, right? No.
That was step one of many.
Oh, yeah, like, right.
Definitely. Oh, God, I really respect that you said that, yeah.
I appreciate that, too. I mean, I think there, what the phrase that, or the words that came up for me when you said that is bro culture. And, I mean, there's a whole other conversation. I have some friends in the tech industry, and that's a very heavily male-dominated. And, again, we're saying this knowing, everyone listening, that there are amazing men out there who are allies and on board with all of this. But, you know, it is, it comes from an old school mentality of, you know, boys will be boys, or if whatever. I don't want to get too deep into that because we got to wrap it up. But just, I think that is a big part of it. So that's why I'm always, yay, boys who get it, yay. And just people who get it, whatever the gender, right? It's very important. Okay, final, any more final thoughts? Anyone else?
Check that I don't have anything.
Trixie is very organized and obviously takes this very seriously, so she has notes. Yes.
Yeah, another website that I'd like to recommend to everybody, especially organizers, is uplifttogether.org. And they're generally Uplift on social media, but uplifttogether.org is their title. And they can actually provide you with training if you go to their website, conresources.org. Really simple to remember. Like, that's all you need is resources for your con.org. They will give you some ideas as to how to improve your convention, how to train your people, and how to implement the policies that are, you know, better for every attendee involved, and not just cosplayers being photographed with the cosplay is not consent umbrella.
That's great, yeah, because it's deeper than just photo taking, or, you know, because that's in my book. I have a part on cosplay and consent, but again, because it's a very short part that Jason Marsden added a quote to as well, but again, this is new for me. Like, I'm not immersed in the con experience. I'm a novice to it, although I love it and I have a lot of fun in it. But so that's why I'm really happy that you all came, you know, as people who have been more immersed in this quote unquote scene more. So just thank you all so much for getting up early and coming here, and just enjoy the rest of your last day here. And thanks again. Thanks so much.
Thank you.